Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Listening friends, you are now tuned into the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and I welcome you. And I'm Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, just outside of the beautiful little town of Caledonia, Mississippi. And I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, who is the pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located on Staten Road, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi, just off Highway 15. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we also, many of us, meet together every Wednesday evening at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. We meet at 6 p.m. We generally have an abbreviated song service, a short scriptural message, and then, my friends, we gather together and we break bread together. We enjoy a meal together. So we want you to come and join us as well. We're just outside of the campus of Mississippi State University. Very approachable, very accessible, and we want you to come and be with us. Both of our churches are both the same in hospitality and in loving and worshiping in the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come and join us. If you want to find us, go to gospel-of-grace.com and you'll find all the information there. Now you may be thinking, a primitive Baptist, what is that? That sounds just as confused as a football bat or a box full of coat hangers. Now, if you're perplexed, go and satisfy your curiosity. Go to gospel-of-grace.com, and there are frequently asked questions, church locator, links, articles, archived messages. We implore you and invite you to utilize that resource. We want to thank the stations that host us and allow us to air this broadcast. We love and appreciate you, and we want you to pray for this effort. We want you to contact us via that website, if you will. We're also very thankful to be able to be listened to on Grace Alone Radio, and that is a free internet radio app for either an Apple or an Android device, or on your PC, you can go to gracealoneradio.net and you can live stream it there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Today, we're going to bring for you a message regarding service and a life devoted to service, and we hope and pray that it'll bless your heart. So after this hymn, we'll be right back with today's message.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for staying with us here at the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Today I would like to speak to you regarding a subject that is very dear to my heart. I'm a registered nurse, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and in all those realms of existence, what I love to do is to serve others. I love to serve my wife, I love to serve my children, I love to serve mankind by trying to relieve distress and suffering. I love to serve the flock at Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church. I love to try to do for others. And I can't really brag about that because there was a time in my life when I did not have a servant's heart. That servant's heart, I trust, according to the Word of God, was given me because of the Spirit of God that invaded my cold, dead heart and quickened it and brought it alive, giving me eternal life in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I would like to speak about the subject of the benefits of a life of service. The benefits of a life of service. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to present this message in a way that agrees with the world. The attitude of the world in general is that we'll be glad to serve others as long as there are some benefits for us. Now, it just so happens that I'm going to point out some of the great personal benefits that you as a believer in God and a child of Jesus Christ can obtain and gain by serving others. But please know this, that if we never received one benefit, one ounce of remuneration for any of the good works that we do for others, altruistically, with a pure motive, just wanting to help others for the sake of helping them and for doing good, if we never received any remuneration, no benefits from that, it is still the most worthy and blessed way to live your life. And we never want to forget that. But having said that, we go to the Word of God and we see that there are many benefits of living a life of servitude, of having a servant's heart and exercising it and trying to seek the good, the comfort, the wellness, the benefit, and the edification of other people. First, let's look at number one. The number one reason that we should live a life of service is because it honors God. Very simple. Very simple concept. It is God honoring. Horace Mann once wrote, "To pity distress is but human. To relieve it is godlike." And I love that. Because if we want to honor God, according to the Word of God, we are to serve others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, "Let your light so shine before men." For what reason? Why are you letting your light shine before men? To get a pat on the back? To get a paycheck? No. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That word "glorify" is from a Greek word, doxazo, which means to render, esteem, and honor. To render, that means what you're giving to other people, you are giving honor to the Lord. And when you're giving honor to the Lord, you're giving Him only that which He is due. He has all honor. Why would we not want to honor such a God who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens? That's a worthy way to live your life. And that's what we've been created to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul declared very plainly, "For we are His workmanship." That means you're the workmanship of God. Workmanship means that another with greater power and ability formed you, created you to something. He said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So yes, if you want to honor God, you will honor Him by serving other people. That is one of the most fundamental lessons that we find from Genesis to Revelation in the Word of God. Reason number two, why we want to live a life of servitude, is because it emulates God. It copies Him. It makes your appearance more like Him. Now, someone would say, God is spirit. God is a spirit. How do you say you want to look more like God? Because if you're going to look more like God, you need to look more like Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, it calls Jesus Christ the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. If you want to see what God looks like, if you want to see how God behaves, if you want to know the precepts of God, the manner of God, the desires of God, then all you need to do is simply look at the life of Jesus Christ, at His teachings, at His words. And kindred, it was said in Acts chapter 10, at the preaching of the house of Cornelius, when speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, it spoke of Him as one who went about doing good. So if I want to emulate God, I want to emulate Jesus Christ, who is God. And in doing that, I need to serve others. It's plainly declared in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, if you've been called, and that call there is speaking of the effectual call, the new birth, the spirit birth. He said, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, that conversation means manner of life. It doesn't just include the words that come out of your mouth. It certainly does include that, but it means where you go, what you do, and how you do it, and who you do it for. Let it be holy simply because He is holy. My friends, we were created after the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Why is it that so many people are nowadays losing their tenderness and compassion toward mankind? They're more savage. They're more violent. They love violence more. They will abort babies. They are for euthanizing old people. Well, my friends, I'll tell you, it's when people lose sight of the fact that we, as God's children, are made after the image of God, created after the image of God. Now, there's a lot of sermons to be had in that one concept alone. But I want you to understand this, that if we have been created after His image, and we know that that image was marred in our fall in Adam, that's called the federal headship of Adam and the fall in original sin, we were marred. The image of God in which we were created was marred. It was polluted. It was corrupted. It was defaced. It was like graffiti of sin was sprayed all over it. But kindred, let me tell you something. I want to be more like God. I want to draw closer to Him in fellowship and in my deportment, my attitudes, my behavior. I want to be more like His image. I want to be more the way that I was intended to be before Adam chose so foolishly and cast us all into condemnation and sin. And I don't want to just wait until that day when I'm fully conformed to His image, when He carries me up to be with Him in glory. Oh, my friend, if I'm going to be conformed to His image in heaven, if I'm going to look the way God would have me to look, if I'm going to be restored to that purity of which I was created in Adam, but then that was cost. In fact, the glory we'll have in heaven will even surpass the way in which we were created in Adam. Well, if that's so, if God has such a desire unto my appearance, to me being conformed to His image, then my friends, while I live here, I want to draw as close to Him. I want to try to fulfill the image that God has intended in which I should live. I want to fulfill that. I love what the psalmist declared in Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. And I'll tell you, my friends, no more of a satisfying life can be led. No child of God can be satisfied in this life unless they are striving to be more like their God. And in being more like their God, it means serving others. I want you to know that God is not just a God who saved a people for the purpose of singing honor and glory and praise to Him forevermore. Now, someone would say, Brother Joe, I've heard you declare that God didn't save a people to give the people a right to make a choice, or He didn't save me, Joe Nettles, just because I was a good guy. No, I was the very opposite of it. He didn't save me for this reason or that reason, but primarily when we look at the salvation of God's people, it's because God is worthy of praise forevermore, and He formed a people for that praise. But I want you to consider this. In Philippians chapter 2 and in other places, we see that at that last day, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the destruction of this world, even the wicked, those who do not love God, those who are going to spend their eternity in perdition rather than in the felicity of heaven, they will bow the knee and they will confess with the tongue that Jesus is Lord, that God is Almighty. They will make that confession. So I ask you this, if God was just interested in having people that would sing and honor and glorify him with their lips and their praise, then my friends, he could do that with the wicked. If every one of us had gone to hell in perdition and wound up in an eternal lake of fire, he still has the power that he could have brought forth choruses of praise, forcing it to be, because God has that ability. But my friends, he didn't choose to do that. No, he's a giving God, and he manifests his nature, his character as a giving God in that he created a people on which he could bestow the greatest blessings of all, and that's eternal life, that we might sing praise to him, not just because it's what we've been created to do, not just because it will be our pleasant duty to do so in heaven, but because we want to. We want to praise such a giving God. And my friends, if we're going to praise him in heaven, I'll tell you, we need to praise him down here on the earth. And I don't know of any better way to do that than through our actions of serving others. Let's look at reason number three today, why we should have a servant's heart, why we should devote our life to service of others. It's simply because it just helps other people. My friends, can you truly say that you've lived this entire life and you've never needed help? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the question was asked, what have ye that ye did not receive? Now, I know ultimately everything we received that's good and righteous and blessedness in this life is from God. But friends, you did receive it. We've received it from bosses, from parents, from friends. We have received so much help from so many sources, and we should seek to be that for other people. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it's declared this way, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It means if you desire help, if it has warmed the cockles of your heart, if it has just put a balm upon your sin-sick soul in your life to have been condescended to have been helped up, to have been blessed in your lowly state by the love and the charity of other people who came and held your hand, who bowed with you in prayer, who gave you a check when you were destitute. If that helped you, then you ought to want to help others in that same way. In Galatians 6 and 2, it's declared, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you want to fulfill the law of Christ, my friends, it will be in bearing others' burdens and in helping them, in helping those that can't help themselves, in helping those who would never stop and help you. Again, in an altruistic way, it's an honorable thing to do to help others. Where would this society in which we live be if people did not have an interest and a desire in actively helping one another just because it's the right thing to do? I shudder to think. Reason number four, why we should live a life of service to others is because you will be edified in it. What does it mean to be edified? It's related to the word edifice, which means something that is built up. We've covered that recently here on this program. Well, how are you edified by serving others? See, that's counterintuitive to the world. They think, well, I'm only going to be built up. I will only be edified if other people give to me, if I do for myself. But that is not the truth in the life of a child of God. One who's been born again of the Spirit of God will never find satisfaction, will never feel exalted and lifted up above the muck and the mire of this world unless he or she is devoted to serving others, to helping them, to relieving their distress, to being there for them, even when they didn't know possibly that they needed anyone. You see, that's living like Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it declares, for the perfecting, equipping of the saints. Now, what's the context here? He said that when he led captivity captive, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. And that gifts, the gifts given unto men are the gifts of prophecy, of apostleship, of pastors and teachers. So what's the context here? It is sharing and teaching the gospel, that which is taught and that which is posited by the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And why do we do these things? And why are these things done for us? He said, for the perfecting of the saints. That means, that word perfecting means equipping. It means the preaching and the teaching, all the things that are harmonious with the message of Christ equip us. They perfect us for a work. And that work is, he goes on to say, for the work of the ministry, to serve others. Oh, friends, Jesus Christ said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He came to give to us that which we could never give. And I guarantee you can never pay him back for what he's done. If you ever had anything to give him, it's only because he first gave it to you. All right? We go on here. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, notice that, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So friends, we share Jesus Christ. We labor in Jesus Christ because we've been equipped to do it. It's a work for us to do, to minister to others. And we do that for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, does that just mean you're edifying others? Well, let me ask you, are you part of the body of Christ? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, that's your evidence and seal that you are among the body of Jesus Christ, who is the head, and we are the body. We are his bride who will be in heaven with him one day. That wasn't just talking about edifying other people. You yourself will be edified in that. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it reads, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only. You don't have to give him a steak supper. You don't have to give him $1 million out of your 401k. I would to God I had a 401k that had $1 million in it. But again, the Lord provides, so I'm not going to question that. But here he said, if you just give just one of these simple little people in this life a cool drink of water only, he said, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Don't think our God is not a rewarder of those who do good. Our God knows how to give good gifts. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does the Lord benefit and reward his children? Oh, friends, we've never asked of him a fish and him give us a serpent. We've never asked bread of him and him give us a stone. He is a good and a giving God, and he edifies you. That means he will build you up in your soul and spirit and strengthen you in himself. The fifth reason why we want to live a life of service to others is because you'll be justified by it. Now, what does the term justified mean? It's a legal term. It means to be declared just. In whatever court it's in, whether it's in a court that tries murder cases or whether it's in a courtroom that basically adjudicates speeding tickets and things of that nature, the gavel falls and you hear either guilty or not guilty, culpable or not culpable. That's what it means to be justified. It is a legal declaration of someone's right state. All right? That's what it means to be justified. Well, the Bible teaches us plainly of being justified by works. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, we read, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, is this talking about acquiring eternal life or acquiring the evidence and the comfort and edification and the authoritative declaration from the gospel that you are a child of God? My friends, it's the evidence. We don't do works to gain eternal life. So what does it mean here when he said, can faith save him? And that faith without works is dead. My friends, the salvation under consideration there is not saving you from a burning fiery hell to heaven. It's saving you with a knowledge and an assurance of what God has infallibly done for you, and that he has applied it to you in the new birth, and that you belong to him. Yes, what sweet evidence that is. Knowledge is power, and that's great knowledge. And that's what faith gives you. But my friends, faith, if you just have a lip service that you love God, but yet you have absolutely no outward manifestation of it, that makes that, what you count as faith, as dead. That means it is dead to the effects that it should have. Faith and works do not carry us to heaven, but faith together with works is God's means of declaring in our own hearts and minds, and by viewing our works in the minds of other people regarding us, as to our right standing with God. See, I can't see your faith. I can't look into your heart and see your faith. What color is it? How big is it? I don't know. I can't see in another man's heart, but we can judge each other's works. Now, I'm not saying judge them in a way of giving them the stink eye or deriding them. No, but I'm saying that when you see another person who confesses Jesus Christ as their Savior, but yet it's coupled together with them feeding the hungry, with them clothing the poor, with them praising His name, taking up His cross in baptism and following Him, oh, my friends, those works harmonize with the faith that's coming out of off of His lips. And what happens? You can have a confidence of salvation. My friends, other people judge my works. Oh, yes, I'm quick to tell people I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but Lord, please help me as I walk through this life to serve other people so that those who judge my walk of life will be encouraged by it, will see it as an example worthy to be followed, and it will affirm in their hearts and minds and judgment that there goes a child of Christ, one who's been saved by grace, one who will live in heaven with me one day. And we'll all be there only because of the grace and the merit and the favor and the salvation that's bestowed upon us freely by the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friends, we'll carry on with this subject next time I speak to you. And until that time, I hope and pray the Lord give you all a special blessing, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.